We all know that Tony Abbott once said that climate change was crap. Well, we also know that Tony Abbott has said that he believes in the science of climate change. And we also know that Tony Abbott has, by his own admission, said that he's been a bit of a weather vane on this issue. Well, it's our job to make sure that he starts pointing in the right direction. And if he won't, that subsequent governments and subsequent parliaments will. Because while people play politics with this issue, the science just gets harder and harder. And what the science tells us is if we don't act soon, then it potentially becomes too late. Not to save the planet will be here in a billion years' time, but if we don't act soon, then we have very little chance of saving so much of what it is that we as humans and individuals have come to love and cherish. So let me just start with a bit of perspective. Australia is one of the largest exporters of coal in the world. We have a larger share of the world coal market than the Saudi Arabians have of the world oil market. When it comes to coal, we are pretty much as big as it gets. But don't worry, under the Abbott government, we hope to nearly double our coal exports in the coming decades.
Shame!
Well, I agree, and the shame, I mean, to add insult to injury, we actually hope to export this doubling of our coal exports. We actually hope to ship it through the Great Barrier Reef. I mean, if there is nothing that I think more clearly spells out how confused, bizarre and broken our public and political debates have come, it is that we actually, at the moment, this government has given approval for the people that want to build one of the world's largest coal ports in the Great Barrier Reef. They've given them approval to dump the dredging spoil, to dump the mud into the Great Barrier Reef itself. The Australian coal industry has spent a century disposing of CO2 into the atmosphere for free. Climate change is caused by the fact that the coal industry thinks it can dispose of its waste for free into our atmosphere. And that same industry thinks that when it wants to build a port in the Great Barrier Reef, it should be able to dispose of its mud waste into that same reef. Tens of millions of tons of sediment is going to be pumped into the Great Barrier Reef because it's cheaper to do that than to pump it on shore. Not only do we need to ask why would we build a port, but actually not only that, in building the port, we're going to be willing to damage the short run prospects of the Great Barrier Reef simply to save a bit of money. And of course, in building that port and in doubling our coal exports will cause the climate change that potentially sends the death knell for the Great Barrier Reef in the long run. But we can't even wait to damage it in the future. This government is actually willing to damage it in the present today. Now, you've probably heard a lot about the carbon price. There's no doubt that this government seems determined to rip up an historic piece of legislation that for the first time put a price on pollution. Please forgive me, don't boo, I'm an economist, and most economists believe, sorry, it's true, I admit it. There's not an academic economist in the country that this government's been able to find who will put their hand on their heart and say their direct action policy is a better idea than a carbon price. Not a single academic economist in the country prefers direct action to a carbon price. But the carbon price is just one of a systematic attempt, or part of a systematic attempt by this government to unwind and actually to take us backwards on the issue of climate change. They've got so many bad ideas planned, I couldn't remember them, so I had to write them down. One of the first decisions they made on coming to government was to send no minister to the Warsaw talks. Australia was the only developed country to send no ministerial representation. to what are some of the most important talks facing the world. Of course, they're planning to scrap the carbon price. Whether they can get that through the next Senate or not, time will tell. And again, it's important that as long as they keep making bad decisions, we show up and tell them that. They've effectively ditched the 5% greenhouse gas emission target. Now remember, there was bipartisan consensus on this target. Now don't get me wrong, 5% is a pathetic, pathetic target. The science says that we should be looking at something more like a 40% emission reduction. But leave that aside, we had bipartisan consensus for at least a reduction, a 5% reduction, and this government has said that if it's a choice between the targets and money, that they'll choose money. So they've abandoned the 5% target. They're obviously trying to take an axe to the Clean Energy Finance Corporation. They've already taken an axe to the Climate Commission. They've cut funding to the Howard government's legacy issue of energy efficiency, and as if to come back to the point I made at the beginning, as if to really demonstrate that they could not care less about the science, they're actually intending to press ahead with their review of the health impacts of wind turbines. Those dangerous, dangerous wind turbines that are out there killing the odd bird are, for this government, one of the most important issues to look into. So, sadly, as days go on, as years have passed, as people like us have met in this space to talk at Walk Against Warming and other events, the longer we've put off tackling climate change, the worse the science has got. The longer we put it off, the more expensive tackling climate change becomes. So let me just end by putting this into a bit of economic, what I hope is economic context that makes sense, but also simple human decision making that makes sense. Sometimes in our lives we're presented with dilemmas. We're faced with options and we're not quite sure what to do. Should we spend money to tackle climate change now, or should we roll the dice and do nothing, is obviously a question that our parliaments have struggled with. But it's not unusual for us as individuals to face decisions about uncertainty. And it's not unusual for our parliament to be able to be faced with making such decisions. I'm often told that the problem with climate change is that tackling climate change is some sort of wicked problem, that it's somehow unique, that it stretches our democratic capacity. I don't believe that, but just stick with me for a minute. The reason I'm told that tackling climate change is a so-called wicked problem is because we have to act today, we have to spend money today, and the benefits won't occur until the future, and the benefits are uncertain. And if we act alone or as one country, we can't actually solve the world's problems. So I'm told that climate change is a wicked problem and that it's special, again, because the costs are up front, the benefits are in the future, the benefits are uncertain, and acting alone, we can't solve anything. Yet, this government is about to spend tens of billions of dollars to buy some new Joint Strike Fighters, and plans to spend up to $50 billion, $50,000 million, to build 12 new submarines to replace the 6 we haven't used yet. Well, it gets worse, because let's go through the argument for why we shouldn't tackle climate change. The costs are up front. Yep, like buying submarines, the cost is up front. The benefits are in the future. Yep, like buying submarines, the benefits are in the future. No one's actually threatening to invade us today. We're going to spend $50 billion because it might come in handy later. And, thank you, but it gets even worse. If Australia is the only country in the world to buy submarines, do you think it's going to generate world peace? As a society, we make decisions that have costs that are up front and benefits that are in the future all the time. We do it when we invest in the fire brigade. We do it when we spend $50 billion on submarines. And as individuals, we do it every time we insure our car. And I don't meet many people who, having spent $1,500 insuring their car, get to the end of the year and think, idiot, I didn't crash my car. Well, our government is so short-sighted that we're actually refusing to even put oil in our car at the moment. We're not even taking the preventative maintenance that the engineers say that without it, the system will break down. So, to conclude, Australia has a larger share of the world coal market than the Saudis have of the world oil market. And we are planning to double our coal exports. Australia has some of the highest per capita emissions in the world. And we are telling poor countries that they should act first. And this government is ignoring the entire consensus of the economic community in deciding to abandon a carbon price in order to implement its Band-Aid direct action policy. This government makes a lot of noise about making decisions that are good for the economy. This government makes a lot of decisions that talk about making Australia a better place in the future. Well, the overwhelming majority of the world's scientists say it's time to act. Angela Merkel, conservative German leader, takes climate change seriously and acts on it. David Cameron, conservative UK leader, takes climate change seriously and acts on it. It is only in Australia, and perhaps America, to the extent they care at all, but it is only really Australia where climate change is depicted as some bizarre left-wing conspiracy. But just remember, John Howard not only accepted the science of climate change, but proposed to introduce an emissions trading scheme in the lead up to the 2007 election.